Well, let's just read the chapters 8 and 9 together because we're going to try to cover them. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. A third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. A third part of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. And to them was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads was as it were crowns of gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had their hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, and as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto serpents. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. And them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Isn't that amazing? I think that statement there, we'll get down to it here in a minute, but the last part of chapter 9, and the rest of the men which were not killed yet repented not. Neither repented they. They cried to die, but they didn't repent. The wrath of God is falling on them, yet they didn't repent. Amazing thing. Well, now, Revelation is a book of process judgment. What we see is a very deliberate, slow, purpose, planned process, destruction of the earth. And God's wheel sometimes grind very slow. His justice, his vengeance, his making things right. But they ground exceeding small. What we're coming up to is a picture of the worst day of all history.
of history past. That's what we're studying here in the book of Revelation, from about chapter 6, when we start with the seven seals. Now we have the seven trumpets, and then we'll have the seven vials. Notice it's seven of them. When he'd opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour, and we got a good laugh about could be women in heaven, right? Could not be. No woman would be quiet for half an hour, right? I don't know if some men could be quiet for 10 minutes. Anyway, old joke. There was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Isn't that amazing? All of a sudden, he opens that seventh seal. Now, remember that book you see? He's opening that book. That's the same book you saw back over there in chapter 4 and 5 and 6. And he's come down to the seventh seal. And when he breaks that seventh seal, all of a sudden there's awe. There's just absolute silence spreads across heaven. Everything stops. And then he says, I saw seven angels which stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. Now, let me give you some references. First reference on chapter 8, take Jude 14 through 17. It's right these references down. We're not gonna look at all that. On chapter 8, verse 1, Jude 14 through 17. On chapter 2, in reference to angels, verse 2. Chapter 8, verse 2. Chapter 8, verse 2, on angels, the word angels there, Luke 1:19, Daniel 7:10. That's the angel standing before God. Daniel 7:10. Luke 1:19, Daniel 7:10. Let me give you references to trumpets being used in the Bible. Trumpets are used to call men to solemn assemblies. They were to tell them how to go forth to war, how to retreat, charge. The trumpet wakes the soldier up today still and puts him to bed. You know, just the sound of the trumpet. And if the trumpet given on a certain sound, who would know how to prepare himself to battle? So we use our voices as a trumpet. Anyway, here's some references to trumpets. They were sometimes used for many different things. Exodus 19:16, Exodus 20:18, Acts 7:38, Galatians 3:19, Hebrews 2:2, Matthew 24:31, 1 Timothy 4:16, 1 Corinthians 15:52, Numbers 10:1-7. I'll read them all for you again so you can check your references. Exodus 19:16, Exodus 20:18, Acts 7:38, Galatians 3:19, Hebrews 2:2, Matthew 24:31, 1 Timothy 4:16, 1 Corinthians 15:52, Numbers 10:1-7. Now, we've got seven angels standing before God. Now, angels stood before God. You know, Gabriel, Michael, different angels have, some of them have been named. Angels are God's servants. Some of them have a special privilege. Some of them probably have ranks in angels. You have archangels, you have regular angels. You have the cherubim and seraphim, the cherubs that anointed. The statement was the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God. So there is, it's like an army, and there's rank and privilege, and some of the angels behold his face at continual times and so on and so forth. So we have these angels which stand before God. So we had seven of them here. Again, think of all the sevens that we've had. We have the seven lamps, the seven stars. We've had the seven churches. We have the seven seals. And now we've got up with seven angels. Seven special angels are standing before God. Now then, to them were given seven trumpets. Each one of them has a trumpet. And each man's going to get to tune his horn. Each man's going to blow the trumpet. And the trumpet, as you'll notice in some of these references, if you'll run these references, we're going to find that at the last day when the rapture takes place, trumpets are going to sound. The trump of God. We're going to find out that trumpets have been sounding throughout history on very important occasions. Sometimes a solemn occasion, declaring war. Sometimes waking people up, putting them to sleep. Sometimes calling them to assembly. Sometimes sending them to their home. Whatever. A trumpet is an important sound. It was something that was really called people's attention. And we still use a trumpet like that. You know, we had a trumpet player when I went to school, and every time we'd make a touchdown, he'd stand up and play a certain song. He was the soloist, you know, for the band. A good friend of mine named Bobby Boer. He's some sort of an engineer, not a petroleum engineer, a mechanical engineer, something like that, working for different companies. I saw him here a while back, 10 years ago. But anyway, he was a tremendous trumpet player. Boy, that old boy could really play the trumpet. And he was the one that every time he'd make a touchdown, he'd stand up and play this special call, you know. The trumpet has all sorts of sound. Tremendous instrument. Been used over the years, and you can see how it's used throughout the Bible we have here. All right, so seven angels
are standing before God after this silence. The book, the scroll, has been opened. All seven seals have been broken. And as it's opened up, these seven angels appear there in silence, and here the silence is going to be broken. What's it going to be broken with? It's going to be broken with a trumpet. Seven trumpets. And so we have them all each given a trumpet. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. There was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, what does this remind you of? This reminds you of the tabernacle. Remember Brother Taylor teaching on the tabernacle about the golden censer? Okay, and the golden altar before the throne of God. So here we have this tabernacle in heaven, and we have the golden censer, and the incense stands for the prayers of the saints, and it's a sweet smelling or a good smelling, fragrant, burning stuff that some sort of material that's burned and puts off a good odor. And he offers that with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. A couple of references to that. The prayers of the saints, the golden altar before the throne, would be Psalms 56:8. His reference is on verse 3. Psalm 56:8, 1 Timothy 2:1 through 4. All right. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So what we have, this scene here, boy, when that seventh seal is broken, all of a sudden all heaven is quiet. About a half an hour. Then seven angels are standing before God. They're given seven trumpets. Another angel comes by. He gets this golden censer with burning incense, and he offers this up with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne of God. And it says in verse 4, and the smoke of the incense which came from the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. A couple of references to verse 4 would be Revelation 6:11, Revelation 6:11, and Matthew 6:10. You see, our prayers do have an importance. Sometimes you get pretty dull praying sometimes. You know, you think, well, what am I doing? I'm not doing any good. My prayers aren't even getting out of this room. Hey, man, they may be putting incense before the throne of God. They may be rising up before the golden altar up there. We ought to spend more time praying and ought to do it right. So, which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and cast the censer into the earth. And all of a sudden there were voices and thunder, lightning, and earthquake. You know, have you noticed how much of this has to do with earth? How much that has to do with it? This is the earth of justice. This is the vintage. Now, here's this thing that represents the prayers of the saints rising before God, and it's cast into the earth. And when it is, voices, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquakes. The reference there would be Numbers 16:6. Verse 5, reference to verse 5, to number 16. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. It says the first angel sounded, verse 7, followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now, a couple of references to this verse 7 would be Joel 2:30, Exodus 9:22-26. These are some, not only prophecies, but you can see some of the similarity between the plagues that came upon Egypt when there's some of the references in Exodus. Exodus 9:22-26. So what you'll find is, in some of the references I'm going to give you in Exodus, will be a comparison of this and the plagues that God performed upon Egypt whenever he was judging Egypt. So the first angel sounds. He fixed his trumpet to its mouth, and I don't know what kind of a blast it was, but I guarantee you it was something that it ought to strike fear into anybody's heart. An opposing enemy to hear the army of God set out that angel with his trumpet, earth should have been fearful, because hail and fire mingled with blood is cast upon the earth. Notice, the third part of the trees burned up and all the green grass was burned up. Now, what do you think that's going to cause? When the third part of the trees, if a third of the orange trees burned up, what would it do? That's right. You got problems. I mean, if prices are going to go up, some people aren't going to be able to get it. What if all the grass is burned up in a given area? All the cattle and all the sheep and all of the other livestock that people would have is going to have problems, aren't they? So there's problems coming. I mean, when that fellow sounds that trumpet and this descends down upon the earth, you got problems. You're going to have people fighting over food and prices and all sorts of problems. Okay? Verse 8. And the second angel found it. As it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed.
Now then, what we saw here had to do with the earth, and we saw that the trees were burned up, a third of them, and all the grass was burned up. Now, this could have been something like Hawaii exploded, some great volcano, the big mountain that's cast into the sea. It'll be something like a huge volcanic mountain, maybe like Hawaii, you know, big, and I'm not saying it is Hawaii, but any other thing like that. A whole mountain just cast into the sea, burning with fire. Sounds like a tremendous volcanic explosion, all right? It was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. What's that going to do? Fish is going to die. A lot of things are going to be a problem. Exodus, a reference to verse 8 will be Exodus 9, 20 through 25. Exodus chapter 9, verses 20 through 25. You'll notice that was a plague that fell upon Egypt. Now the third part of the creatures which are in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Hey, you talk about a disaster. When we have one plane go down, 186 people die, 75 people die. It is a national disaster. Hits the news around the world. Whenever Britain here just recently blows that ship out of the ocean and 300 or 400 men die, that's a tremendous disaster. World War II, whenever they knock down some carrier, 5,000 men are lost at sea. Tremendous disaster. How many ships do you think are out there running those oceans right now? How many ships do you think are just in the Mediterranean Sea? Some men limit the revelation and what we have to what we have around the Mediterranean Sea, Europe and Africa and the Middle East. This is where all this is taking place. I'm not sure about how limited it is, but it's certainly going to take place there. That's where the Jews are and the Arabs all around them and all the things. The Valley of Megiddo, the Battle of Armageddon, all these things are over in that area. But what about how many ships would be if it were nothing but the Mediterranean Sea? Think what a disaster would be if a third of the ships in the Mediterranean Sea were destroyed tonight. Wow. You talk about a lot of people. You talk about a disaster. They couldn't count the bodies. So the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, the third part of the ships were destroyed. All right, the third angel is going to sound. Verse 10. The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. Fell upon the third part of the rivers, upon the fountains of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. Now, we've got a falling star here. We understand, you understand, and I understand that the North Star is not going to come down here and fall like that because it might be bigger than our sun, who knows. And if our own sun hit the earth, it would destroy a third of the city, a third of the rivers. You understand what we're talking about? A tremendous falling star. And just that's the terminology used when you see one of these huge meteorites come into the atmosphere and it burns across the sky. Some of them are so strong, so big that they come down the atmosphere and they hit and bury, like we have that tremendous crater out there in Arizona somewhere, Nevada, one of them. I've been there. It's a tremendous thing where this meteorite is buried. Now they tell us that meteorite is buried off on an angle down under there and they don't know exactly how far. But that there's still a big part of it down there. And it just drove itself into the earth, making this big pothole, huge pothole miles around. It's one tremendous thing. Now, think for a minute. This one is going to come down, falling. I guarantee you, everybody's going to see that. You talk about a streak of light across the thing. If it's big enough to do this, it's going to make a streak of light that would scare Indians from now the kingdom come. You know, the old stories about eclipses and stuff scaring people. I guarantee you this will scare modern men when they see this one coming across the sky. It's called Wormwood, and it goes down, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. It's going to hit and bury itself to where it's going to pollute a third of the rivers and the waters and the springs. Now, Wormwood is an interesting thing. It's a bitter herb. Now, this star is named Wormwood. Now, we can find Wormwood several places in the Bible. But wormwood is a bitter herb. It sometimes causes intoxication, and it can cause death. Wormwood is easy to put into the system. Now, there's several references in the Bible to wormwood. Let me give them to you. These are references to wormwood. Amos 5:7. Amos 5:7. Amos 6:12. Amos 6:12. Deuteronomy 29:17-18. Deuteronomy 29:17-18. Jeremiah 9:14-16. Jeremiah 9:14-15. Proverbs 5:4. Proverbs 5:4. Lamentations 3:19. Lamentations 3:19. Now, if you read these references, you'll find wormwood throughout the Word of God, and there are several places where You can see it is bitter. Sometimes it calls in reference to death and judgment. Okay, a great star fell from heaven. Its name of it, Wormwood. It burned like a lamp. It just burst upon the sky. Fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. So what we've had so far is destruction of the earth. Now we have tremendous destruction of the sea. Now then we have a destruction of a third part of the waters, of the fountains of water, the rivers and the springs of water. One of the biggest problems of modern cities is water. Why, there are places out in that desert where you can do anything if you have water. Land tremendously valuable if you have water. All right, and the fourth angel sounded. The third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon. Now, what happens if the sun doesn't shine for a third of the day? What happens if the sun is only two-thirds of its strength? Well, you'll all be in trouble. Several ways there, too. I'm not sure I understand exactly how this is, but the sun is smitten, the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for the third part of it, and the night likewise. Here's some references to go along with verse 12. Exodus 10:22. Isaiah 13:10. Isaiah 13:10. Matthew 24:29. Matthew 24:29. Here are some references on signs, not the signs of the times, and the signs of the coming of the Lord at home. Luke 21:25, Genesis 1:14 tells us these things in the heavens were given us for signs. Luke 21:25, Genesis 1:14. So what we have in this fourth angel sounds is something that affects the sun, the moon, the star, the day and the night. Do you notice what's been affected? Everything. Doesn't matter, man. The land, the sea, the water on the land, and now the heaven, sun, the moon, the star. Verse 13, I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Notice how God breaks things up into four and three. It's amazing, isn't it? Remember when we were studying those seven churches? Chapter 2 has four churches. Chapter 3 has three. Four and three. You ever notice here we got four and three. It's amazing how many fours and threes you find in God's name. Have you ever thought about 7,000 years, four, two, and one, four and three? Jesus was 4,000 years from Adam to Christ. And then 2,000 years since him, he's going to reign for 1,000 years. 7,000 years. Amazing how seven works in there. Three is God's divine number. Three stands for God. 12 is God's governmental number concerning earth. Just throw that in while we're looking. Three is the divine number. 12 is God's governmental number. Okay, we're in chapter 9. Let me give you three references for chapter 9. Daniel 8:10-24. Daniel 8:10-24. Isaiah 14:12. Revelation 12:4. Revelation 12:4. Isaiah 14:12. Daniel 8:10-24, Isaiah 14:12, Revelation 12:4. And the fifth angel sounded. Hey, the trumpet is blowing, isn't it? I mean, somebody is blowing the trumpet. And when this fifth trumpet sounds, I saw a star fall from heaven and earth. Now notice this star. To him, a different kind of star than Wormwood, isn't it? This star is a person. You ever heard of the stars out in Hollywood? They're people, aren't they? But they're great stars, okay? Well, we see a star fall from heaven and earth. What is that lightning flashing across the sky? It's a person. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Let me give you a couple of references to the pit. Revelation 21, Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, Luke 8:31. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit that came out of the smoke locusts. And you notice, we had this fourth angel sounding over in the last chapter. And then there was another angel flying in the heavens saying, woe, woe, woe. Wasn't it bad enough what we read those first four? He said, it's going to get worse. I want you to know, not just the land and the sea and the rivers and the springs and the heavens are going to be messed with, but I want you to know God's going to open hell. God's going to turn all hell into... What do you think the world would be like just tonight if we turned everybody loose in all the prisons in St. Asylum? Just let them loose. Run the streets. They got a movie now that they've got out where Escape from New York or something, where New York City is supposed to become the prison of the United States. Instead of a regular prison like we have today, they just build high walls around it. Anybody that's convicted of them, just drop them inside it. You know, whatever goes on inside, they couldn't care less. Can you imagine getting all them together? Ooh, that could be an ugly mess, man. Get the worst elements of society and turn them loose. Well, what if you take a bunch of degenerated devils out of hell that have been locked in the pit, pull them out? What you got here? Now that he goes down, opens up hell, the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, there rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. The sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. I mean, boy, when he opened that up, the smoke hit the sky, it was like Mount St. Helens had gone off 15 times. All of them within 30 miles of you. I mean, there was smoke everywhere. Chapter 3 there would be Exodus chapter 10 and verse 4. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth had power. Now, we have scorpions around here once in a while. I kill one just every so often. I guess they come out of this field out here close to us. And they like to crawl in for some reason. They like us. And they'll crawl up on, I've seen them on the ceiling. Boy, just crawling up on the ceiling, sometimes on the floor, sometimes back in the nursery. Every once in a while, we just got to kill a few scorpions around this place. Have you ever been stung by scorpions? They do get your attention. They do get your attention. You know, I'm glad they don't last for just a few days. Isn't it nice that that bite sort of goes away? You know, it hits you and, oh, it's bad for a little while. But then, praise the Lord. I mean, it doesn't last forever. It does go away. Who did? No. 10 or 12 hours. Oh, boy. They can pinch you. And some of those big desert scorpions over there in the Middle East, you seen some pictures of them? Al, you were over there in the East. You ever seen those big desert scorpions over there? They were a lot bigger than the ones here. They look scary. How would you like that? Well, take a look at what we've got here, man. I want you to know God's got some degenerated devils coming out of hell right here. All these devil movies they got coming out over, you know, and some of them things are prophetic. They don't know how prophetic they are. Some of these people like to go get scared by some of these horror movies where they got these devils coming out of hell and half human bodies and mutations and all this stuff. Hey, God's got a few. We just prepare. The world's just getting prepared in their minds for what's going to come out. It says no. I'm saying that what we see in the world in the movies sometimes is very prophetic. And they think they're just telling some horror story. But I want you to look at what I'm going to read you in this chapter. This is a real horror story. It says, out of the bottomless pit, now this is out of hell itself, are special locusts. They're given power as scorpions of the earth have power. In other words, to sting men. Locusts don't generally sting or harm men except to eat up crops. They're flying. You ever thought about a flying scorpion? that go in droves like locusts do? That's what you got. You got flying scorpions here, locusts that have tails like scorpions. Now it was commanded them they should not hurt the grass on the earth. Hey, now what a locust generally do? They eat the crops and the grass and everything green, right? Well, these locusts are a little bit different. They got a special purpose. They should not hurt the grass, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Remember chapter 7? Had 144,000 men sealed. That's a men's seal. Now, the one group that these locusts aren't going to hurt are those sealed men. Otherwise, if you have not been sealed of God, these locusts can just have free reign on you. Say, by the way, here's some references going back to that on verse 4. Exodus 8:22, Exodus chapter 9, verse 4, verse 6, and verse 26. Exodus chapter 9, verse 4, verse 6, and verse 26. And then Exodus 10:23. These are references to verse 4. Now, what we have are locusts coming out of the pits of hell who have a tail like a scorpion, and they're commanded by this angel that let them out, you can't touch the trees. And you can't touch these men who have the seal of God in their foreheads. What are they going to do? To them was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion when he struck at the man. What Eddie went through for 10 hours, man gets stung by one of these, he's going to get hit for 5 months. 5 months torment and pain. Did you know that 5 months is the natural lifespan of locusts? They live 5 months. 5 months is the natural lifespan of locusts. All right, these strange mutations, these strange degenerate devils out of the pits and fires of hell are going to come out on the earth, and anybody doesn't have the seal of God upon them, they're going to be stung by these locusts. Verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Take a reference on verse 6, Jeremiah 8:3. They're going to seek death and not find it. They're going to hurt so bad. What if a guy gets, you know, you ever flown into a bunch of caterpillars or seen a bunch of locusts raid a field or whatever? Well, what if these things are flying down through the city and about 15 of them hit you? You sure would want to die. And 5 months you got to put up with it. It's not a matter of a week or 6 days. 5 months. Comfort, they're going to want to die. I ain't going to describe them a little bit to it. I want you to look at these locusts. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. You know what a horse looks like prepared to battle? Now, we don't have battle horses. But if you ever saw in the old books or read about the knights, and they had shields on their horses many times. They had side plates on them. They had armor. If they wore armor, many times the horses had armor on them to protect them. They were prepared for battle. And many times they had different sort of coverings and whatever over them. So these locusts have sort of like armor or crust and stuff on the sides of them. They're like unto horses prepared in the battle. On their heads was, as it were, crowns of gold. Something about their head is golden up there. It looks like it's a crown. Didn't say it was a crown of gold. It says, as it were, what it looked like to him. Hey, if you look at verse 7, their faces were as the faces of men. The body of a locust prepared like a horse, a battle horse, with a tail like a scorpion or a snake and a face of a man. Woo-hoo! That would turn some of these people over in their dreams tonight. And they had hair like the hair of women. Hey, that sounds like some hippie groups I've seen. Hair like the hair of women, and her teeth as the teeth of lions. Got a face like a man with lion's teeth in the mouth. Hair like a woman. Dressed like a horse going into battle with a tail that stings men for 5 months. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings is the sound of many chariots and many horses running into battle. You tell a boy when they begin to hear that, you talk about men fearing, men running, men trying to hide. They had tails like unto scorpions, and their stings were in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Hey, these are unusual too. They got a king over them. The king is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Ooh, the destroyer. Proverbs, verse 11, let me give you a couple of references. Proverbs 30, 27, and Job 26, 6. Proverbs 30, 27, Job 26, 6. Hey, one woe is past. Wasn't that a bad woe? Man, I sure hope my premillennial, pre-tribulational view is right. I'll tell you what, I sure wouldn't want to be walking there when this thing comes back. All right, one woe is past. Behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound on the great river Euphrates. Good night.
Good night.
All right. Revelation on a reference to verse 14 to Revelation 16:12. We have another reference to the great river Euphrates. We got the sixth angel sounding. All right. It has to do with the river Euphrates. Now, where is Euphrates? You know where the Euphrates River is? All right, next to the Tigris, and that's right. These were where Babylon was built, and it's over there in the Middle East, see? Okay? Now, when a sixth angel sounds his trumpet, the command comes. What we had was, in the fifth angel, loosing the demons of hell. When we have the sixth angel sounding his trumpet, we have four angels prepared for this day. And they have been bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Four angels are going to ride out, and a third of what's left is going to go. I don't know how many men are left on the earth for this time, my friend, but I want you to know. You talk about worried about population explosion. It's going to be depopulated very fast. They were prepared for a day, a month, a year. God already knows, my friend, the very moment this is going to take place. And these angels are sitting right there, right now, they're waiting to be turned loose for the sixth trumpet to sound. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. Now, how many is 1,000,000? 1,000 times 1,000 is what? 1,000,000. So you're looking at 200,000,000 soldiers. 200,000,000 soldiers. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. And it said on them, having breastplates of fire, of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of the men killed. When these angels turned loose,
We see these tremendous vision here, and the one set on the horses in the vision, the army of the horsemen. Okay, by these was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents. How about a horse that had a tail like a snake? They've got breastplates of fire and brimstone, and they have tails like serpents. How about a horse that could bite with his mouth and reach around and strike you like a rattlesnake with his tail? By these were a third part of the men killed. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and they had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, whoever's left, you know, I think, you just think at any rate, that if you were left there to see all this horror and destruction, you'd be crying to God for anything you could. But you know, it just shows you the depravity of man and the wickedness and the stubbornness of his will against God. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands. That they should not worship devils. They're still going to go on worshiping devils. They're going to go on worshiping idols of gold, idols of silver, idols of brass, idols of stone, idols of wood, which they neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. No repentance. Yet they repented not. Man, that's some of the most dangerous words that was said in the Word of God. Well, let me give you some references. When you think about these idols and devil worships, I think of cults in verse 20. And then the image of the beast in Revelation 13, 15. Image of the beast in Revelation 13, 15. Worshiping devils and idols. To verse 21, Jeremiah 17, 9. Would be a good reference. Jeremiah 17, 9. On verse 21, and the word sorceries. Revelation 18, 23. Revelation 21, 8. Revelation 22, 15. Galatians 5, 20. Sorceries, Revelation 18, 23, Revelation 21, 8, Revelation 22, 15, and Galatians 5, 20. When it comes to fornication, I think of Sodom and Revelation 2, 20 to 21. Revelation 2, 20 to 21. All right, you got any questions on chapters 8 and 9? All right. Locusts have different sizes. Some would be as small as, say, an inch long, and some of them be up to 2 or 3 inches probably. Now, what size these are, there's no telling. Well, I think the shape was like it. I don't think that's the size. He doesn't give us the size, so I'm not sure how big they are. But interesting, anyway. Yeah, I think they are small. Most locusts are small. Now, they'd be anywhere from an inch to 3 inches. That's right. But shape this way. Yeah? Uh-huh. All right, any other questions?
We'll go back to Revelation 8.
Which one? 8 what? All right, I gave you Jude 14 to 17, and I gave you on verse 2 on angels, Luke 1:19, and Daniel 7:10. That was 8:2. That was Revelation 8:2 that the references Luke 1:19 and Daniel 7:10 belong to. Okay, that gets it for you. All right, verse 2. All right, anybody else? Yeah. The only ones, yeah. All the church is gone, for sure. Now, how many of them have already been killed by one thing or another? Whether or not they've already been raptured out over here in chapter 7? It says in chapter 7, verse 3, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, but we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. I heard the number of them that were which were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, there may have been others sealed. All we heard was that. Then we saw a great multitude in verse 9 that came out of the great tribulation. It's entirely possible that by the time this takes place, nobody but the 144,000 is still around. And they're only there because they can't kill them. So God hasn't let them die. They've been protected. No. This is not for the children of God. This is for the thief. He's even said right there, he's protected them, said, don't you do anything to them, the ones that are sealed. Well, what you do it to is the ones that haven't been sealed. Okay? That answer your question? Anybody else? I don't know what the seal is. The Bible says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit till the day of time. So you've been sealed. How are you sealed? See, I don't know what the seal is. The seal is like a stamp. The seal is like a personal locking of the letter until it can't be opened to anybody else. So it's something that is in relation to God, and He knows it. But how we're sealed by the Holy Spirit and what that seal means, I really don't know. I know what its significance is. It means you belong to God, and the angels can recognize it. They know you've been sealed. Yeah? All right? Any other questions? All right, let's thank the Lord. Father, we thank you for your rich blessings, the opportunity we had to study your word tonight, to preach the word, to study how to preach it. Lord, we're thankful that you saved us from the rest of us. We praise you for your kindness and your mercy. Lord, we pray that multitudes more would come to know thee. We pray, Lord, that they'd not be based, but they'd grow up and be strong men and women in Christ. Bless thy word, thy people, in Jesus' name I pray. Okay.